celebrating today the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is the truth of our faith that states that Mary was conceived without sin, that she was preserved from all stain of sin. And therefore, it's very fitting that in today's Liturgy of the Word, we really have kind of a recounting or a summary, in a way, of all of salvation history, the fall of man, of the promise of redemption, and then moving toward the act of redemption in Jesus. In the first reading today, we hear about the fall of Adam and Eve, through which original sin was brought into the world from their original disobedience to God and their desire, in a way, to kind of play God or to try to be as if they were God. G.K. Chesterton, the great author, once said that if there is one dogma of the Catholic faith that absolutely everybody should believe in, it is that of original sin. And what he meant by that is to say that each of us human beings has the experience of looking at our own lives and saying, it is sometimes challenging for me to do what I would like to do and what I know I should do, and it's sometimes challenging for me to avoid that which I know I should avoid. Which is really kind of the sign of this fallen nature, of a nature which is inclined sometimes to go against what our perfection really in life is meant to be. But it's significant in that reading from Genesis that we have today that immediately following the fall, we have this prophecy and this promise of redemption, of the one or the offspring born of the woman who will crush the head of the devil with his foot. And this, of course, the Church has always interpreted as being a reference to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and of course, the fruit of her offspring being Jesus, the one who conquers sin and death and triumphs over the devil. And this is precisely the gift of redemption that we too have been blessed in, as we heard in the second reading, that we have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing. Today, in a way, we're celebrating that these spiritual blessings have come to us through Mary, through her offspring, Jesus, who is our Savior, Lord, and Redeemer. Then finally, in today's Gospel, of course, we have the great passage of the Annunciation, where, as St. Thomas Aquinas pointed out, for the first time ever, an angel actually saluted and greeted a human being when the angel Gabriel says to Mary, "Hail, full of grace." Significant that in the original language of the scripture, Greek, that expression "full of grace" is the verb ke charitomene, which really means she who was filled with grace from all time, or from an indefinite period in the past, indicating that Mary has already been preserved from all the stain of sin. And the fact that the angel actually calls her full of grace, as if that was her name, it really is an identity that Mary's total identity and calling in life is wrapped up with her Immaculate Conception, with her having been filled by God's grace from the very beginning. And of course, if we ask the reason why was Mary granted such an extraordinary gift and grace by God, the reason is that the calling and vocation of her life was to be the mother of the Redeemer, to be the mother of God himself in Jesus, and therefore, in God becoming incarnate, he wanted to come in a perfect, stainless vessel, and that is why Mary was preserved from sin and was this perfect vessel to be able to carry Jesus and give birth to him in Bethlehem. I think when we look at Mary's life and when we consider that Mary really is the paradigm of discipleship and of following Jesus, that she is the model of what discipleship is all about, we can see in her life a kind of pattern. And that is when the angel Gabriel kind of reveals the fullness of Mary's vocation to her and in a sense invites her or calls her through God to become the mother of the Redeemer, Mary's reply of yes is something which we can say is an act full of faith and full of trust. And despite what must have been astonishment at being given such a vocation, we can see in Mary's trust that she knew and believed that God had prepared her to be able to live her vocation. We can also see that she would have trusted that God would give her the grace to be able to live and fulfill her vocation. That vocation was precisely to be holy, to be the perfect tabernacle of the Son, to be the mother of the Redeemer, and eventually, through the Church, to become the mother of all the living in faith. I think when we look at that kind of paradigm of Mary's life, of being called to holiness, of being called to a specific vocation in the plan of redemption, and of trusting that she has been prepared and can be faithful to living this plan, it really invites us to look at our own life and to recognize a few important things. The first is that each of us has been called by God to be a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Every time we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we ourselves become a kind of tabernacle or temple to receive the Lord, and that necessitates a journey toward holiness, a journey toward striving for perfection. And it reminds us that our first and most fundamental calling in life is to be sanctified. It is to be holy, and this is precisely a gift that God gives to us, and it's something that we have to cooperate with. Secondly, though, we also know that God gives us a particular mission and calling in life, a particular work that we are called to live and to be faithful to. And just like Mary, we can trust that we have been prepared to live this mission and calling, and we can trust that God grants us the grace to sustain us in our vocation, to persevere in our calling, to be faithful to it, and that in fact it can be brought to fruition. And it will be brought to fruition through His grace. And I think that's particularly important when we consider our own vocation as priests or sisters or married people, that when we have our challenging moments or our difficult times, it reminds us that if our vocation is rooted in God, if He's prepared us for it, and this is what He's called us to, then it really is a gift that we are called to persevere in and to stand faithful to. And that it involves much more than merely our own whims or our own desires, but it really is a God-given vocation that we are called to be faithful to and to persevere in. So my brothers and sisters, as we go forward on this solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, let's in the first place give thanks to God for His wonderful work and plan of redemption that is brought about through the cooperation of the Blessed Virgin Mary and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let us ask God for the grace that we would always strive to know our vocation fully, to live our call to holiness, and to strive to live the fullness of our vocation and calling in life, specifically whatever that may be, just as our Blessed Mother Mary did.